With fire still smoldering at the site of the World Trade Center, air pollution in Lower Manhattan remains a concern. Health officials say the air quality is well within federal standards, but some workers and residents say they're still suffering from the effects of the smoke and dust. NPR's Richard Harris examines the paradox.
The gut-wrenching videos of the Twin Tower collapse don't quite capture what it was like that day for people like Fire Department Dr. David Prezant, who were right at Ground Zero. Talking to a conference of physicians recently, Prezant described how he found himself in a cloud of dust so thick and dark he was sure he'd ended up in a tunnel made of debris. He and his colleagues staggered toward safety.
And after a while, not instantly, but after a while, it became obvious that we were never in a tunnel, that we were never in an above-ground mine made by this collapse. We had been out in the street the entire time. That's how thick this particulate matter was.
Given that reality, it's no surprise that people at Ground Zero that day suffered significant lung problems. And it's also no surprise that firefighters and construction workers who continued to work on the smoldering pile, at first without protective breathing gear, are now more likely to have coughs and respiratory infections. Steelworker Sean Woods sat near Ground Zero eating lunch one day last week. His hard hat is plastered with stickers celebrating his country and his union. Woods recalls what the air was like as he worked on the adjoining buildings back when the fires were still burning strong.
It was nasty, very nasty. Smoke-filled, debris, all sorts of stuff, fiberglass, dust, who knows what was in the air.
Did it make you uncomfortable working like that?
Of course. Wouldn't you be uncomfortable?
Yeah.
I get paid to do a job, and, you know, adversity is just a part of it, so.
These days, the smoke has been reduced to a light wisp, and the dust from the site is dampened down by water trucks constantly prowling around the nearby streets. Health officials say the air quality off-site is well within federal limits, and it has been from nearly the beginning. But local resident Madeline Wills discovered that just because something is within health standards doesn't mean it's healthy.
From my personal point of view, I've been suffering with a sinus infection in which I've just finished a course of antibiotics. I've had laryngitis since the explosion. And I've had intermittent asthma attacks after not having an episode for a couple of years.
Wills lives in Battery Park, right next door to the World Trade Center site. She's a community activist, and she says half her neighborhood is still vacant, in part because of fears about air quality. She says her neighbors have a spectrum of ailments, laryngitis, sore throats, headaches, and nosebleeds.
It won't necessarily put you in the hospital, but it certainly isn't something, if you were told that you were going to move to an area where those were going to be your symptoms, you wouldn't move there at all.
To understand the apparent contradiction between the official proclamations about the air and the complaints of people like Madeline Wills, you will need to know exactly what is in the air. Dr. George Thurston has been working on that since the beginning.
Well, we've been monitoring here at NYU Downtown Hospital, which is just about 4 to 5 blocks away from the World Trade Center disaster area, since just several days after the disaster. We focus mostly on particle air pollution.
Thurston points up to some tubes and funnels poking out of a second-story window. He explains that particles are the critical issue for air quality here. They are the reason that people can be uncomfortable and sometimes even sick, even while air quality is, strictly speaking, within proper limits. Thurston walks through a patient waiting area in the hospital's hemodialysis unit.
So in this back room, facing out on the street, is where we've located our air monitoring equipment so that we can measure the air pollution on the outside.
One instrument captures rings of soot on paper tapes, a stark visual sign of what's going into people's lungs. But contrary to what you might expect, he says, since October, air pollution here has been no worse than it is elsewhere in town.
The risks are not zero from this pollution, but they're more typical now of what kind of exposures you would get being in the city.
Thurston says his measurements from early on agree with the Environmental Protection Agency's. The air off-site has been well within legal limits. But here's the catch. Those regulations limit the ultra-fine particles that can slip past the body's defenses and lodge deep in the lungs. Health officials correctly said those small particles weren't a major health concern.
But I think that what they weren't accounting for was the dust itself, the very large particles, which are not regulated because they're not the particles that get deep in the lungs, so generally it's more of a nuisance.
But in this case, those nuisance particles have been turned out to be more than just a nuisance. They were made up mostly of powdered concrete, which is much more irritating than normal dust. Thurston said those particles made up 99% of the material coming from the site. So people were suffering symptoms from those unregulated nuisance particles while hearing that the air was, legally speaking, safe to breathe.
There was, I think, a disconnect there that between what they were hearing from their leaders in the government versus what they were experiencing on a personal level.
As the dust settles and the fires dwindle, Thurston says the coughs and irritation should abate. But Dr. Stephen Levin at Mount Sinai's Center for Occupational and Environmental Medicine says not everyone will bounce back completely. His clinic has seen about 70 people who work and live in Lower Manhattan suffering with everything from sinus infections to a condition called reactive airway disease.
We do know that there are individuals who, once they've developed reactive airway disease, this form of asthma as a result of a heavy irritant exposure, some of those individuals, in fact, continue to be reactive to irritants in the air for the rest of their lives.
Most people aren't likely to suffer these symptoms or to have them set in permanently, but Levin says some people are especially vulnerable.
We can't predict who will go on to have longer-term consequences and who will have only a short-term problem, but we certainly think that early treatment makes it much more likely that when the irritant burden is reduced, the symptom level will also be reduced.
Levin says as long as the demolition continues to loft dust into the air, and as long as the fires continue to smolder, the risk to susceptible people will linger. Back near Ground Zero, steelworker Sean Wood says the air has gotten a lot better since he first got to the site, though he still slips on his respirator at times while he's working over the pile.
My throat's still pretty raspy, but, this job won't last forever, so.
But workers and residents face many months of construction dust as the work of rebuilding continues. Richard Harris, NPR News, New York.